Merseyside legends.
So Aldridge outside the penalty area.
John Aldridge
gets the ball onto his left foot. Brilliant.
And Graham Sharp.
Graham Sharp, whose season has suddenly turned into gold.
0151 470 967. It's the legends on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Good evening, 6:30. This is the Legends on Radio City Sport. Sharpie and Aldo in the studio tonight. I'm Steve Hover, so we're here for the next hour, and we'd like your thoughts. I don't think there's going to be a shortage of them for this episode of our show. 0151 4720 967. 4720 967. If you're a Blue, can you believe what happened in the last minute at Chelsea? Linesman's fault? Referee's fault? Manager? Players? Give us your thoughts. 0151 4720 967. And if you're a Red, you can come on and you can release all your emotions to John Aldridge.
Cheers, Steve.
There's only one place to start. We'll start with Everton. They were first on at the weekend.
Yeah, at least we got a point.
Yeah. I tell you what, there's a lot to moan about tonight, though, isn't there?
Well, there is. You know, but in Everton's case, they're in a position where they're 2-0 up. You know, Chelsea are thinking, great. But Everton being Everton, you're thinking, this ain't happening here. And then it went 2-1, 2-2, and you're thinking, oh, come on. But to score in the 90th minute, 3-2, you think, right, game over. Mm-hmm. Been there before at Bournemouth, and even 7 minutes added on. I know the manager had a complaint about the added on time and everything else. But, cruel. Considering it was an offside the goal kind of thing, but... You know, there's a lot of criticism for the manager, for the players or whatever. Why did we not come back and defend better? Which I think there's a point on. I think we defensively were poor. But, you know, many times in the past we've been criticised because once we have got in the lead, we sit back and invite pressure. The manager has said that's not his game. That's not the way he'll play. So we're still going forward. I think De La Feuille had the opportunity to run the ball out or get it further up the field. He tried to go past somebody. He lost the ball. We conceded the goal. So we can pick the bones out of it and say it should have been this, should have been that. But bitterly disappointing. Because at 2-0 at Chelsea, you know, you should go on and win the game. Yeah, they'll have a lot of game time. But again, cheap goals. Cheap goals we gave away.
I watched the game. I got Satan else. No, I watched the game and obviously 3-2. He put 7 minutes up. And when it went to 97 minutes, I'm nitpicking.
Yeah.
But it's 7 minutes is done.
Yeah.
I think it was like...
Well, they scored in that injury.
Yeah. No, didn't they? It was 97 minutes and about 30 odd seconds. So
well, Funes Mori was taking his shirt off and hugging fans.
Hold on a minute. What happened to John Terry when he went in the crowd and he never gave us another minute?
Well, that's a good point. Yeah. No, that's a good point. But maybe that is why he had it.
We're nitpicking a little bit. Yeah, but other referees with their 27 minutes gone... It's all over. Yeah. Obviously, never. A lot happened afterwards. And to rub salt on the wounds, you know. I thought when I first seen it, you know, he made a good run, but seeing it again, he's offside. Oh, it's a right.
Kicking
the right dagger in the stomach, isn't it? You know, like Bruni's goal to us, exactly.
Well, so who's at fault? Is it the linesman? Is the linesman the biggest culprit in all this?
The officials are at fault.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What, for allowing an extra minute and for not spotting the offside?
I can see the minute kind of thing, and they can have an argument about that, which is, you can argue.
But sometimes, Job, you have to say, I've noticed, like with some referees, they can't wait for some reason, right on the dot, blow the whistle. And other ones, where they'll say, I'll give this team another little chance here to do something. It happens a lot in football, and it's not, they only need know the reason why the referees. I've seen it in loads of games, you think, why has he done that?
Yeah.
You know, like Liverpool did a game recently, like just before half time, got a break when they were like 4v1 or 4v2, and he blew up. I'm going, what's that all about? Yeah. Now, I'm going to the Everton thing. He let them get forward and have another opportunity. Mm. I don't know. It's a grey area, isn't it?
Well, but the game prior to the Everton game, Chelsea, Costa had one of those with one on a break. In the last second, just before half time, and the referee blew up.
That's right.
Went mental at him.
That's right.
So, what you want is you want rules, the same rules for every team. That's the way it should be. I'm not saying some referee's favour. It's a hard job, we know that. But, and I've never, ever been an advocate of having replays and everything else, and when do you stop the game and everything else. But, for the linesman to get that wrong is madness. Absolute madness. And we all make mistakes, I understand that. But I've said all along, and I'll stand by it, the Premier League is improving and everything else. But the one thing that ain't improving is getting left behind is the standards of refereeing and officiating.
It's awful.
It's awful.
Okay, so maybe technology would help there. But surely there's a little bit of onus on the players.
Yes.
You know, 3-2 up in injury time. Despite what you said about Roberto, surely the players then go, right, it's our job, we see this through. You two have been managers.
I'll tell you what I do. It's happened too many times, probably for Everton. Yeah. You know, how many times do you need, they're not streetwise, you know, how many times do you need to know as a manager or one of the coaches or the players to say, look, we knackered it up last time, let's make sure we do it properly this time. Get the balls into the corner, run the balls out, you know, goes out for the throw and slow it down. Let's kill this out when you go 3-2 up. We're not letting that what happened to Bournemouth go again. And I've seen it with Liverpool players, they're not streetwise. How many times do you need this to happen to you before you do something about it?
Well, I said this last year when Liverpool lost drew at Crystal Palace, and everybody's blaming the manager, we should have done this and should have done that. But your experienced players have got to take a grip of it. You know, and say, right, okay, you know, we've got this, we're holding on, it doesn't matter what's happening, we're holding on to this. And listen, the manager will get the stick and the criticism, but sometimes on the field, the players have got to manage them. The players have got to manage themselves and take hold and say, right, hold on, you ain't doing this, you get the ball, knock it there, and talk. And I just think it's happening, as Aldo says, it's happening too many times. You know, it's happening too many. And the manager's come out and said, I don't want us to play this way. Don't want us to see a game out and take it in the corner. That. But if I'm a player at Everton and I'm 3-2 up on Saturday, and I'd be saying, right, I'm
telling you, want to say that.
This is where it's going. It's going in row Z here, where the other field and everything else. And listen, that's not the manager's way, but as players, sometimes you've got to take responsibility as a player. And I tell you what, conceding, I'd have loved to have been a fly on the dressing room wall to see what was actually said afterwards, because you're talking experienced players, you're talking Tim Howard, Leighton Baines, who came out and said, you know, they need to manage games better. Phil Jagielka, Gareth Barry, they're all experienced players who have had a good career in dressing rooms where, listen, it's not as quiet as what they are now. They're the dressing rooms where you'd be having people up against the wall, grabbing them round the throat if you conceded a last-minute goal. Happened too many times.
Let's see what our first caller makes of it all. It's Carl, who's in Walton. Carl, what were your feelings after the game?
It's just happening too often now. We threw a lot of points away, and all, and we should be shutting games out. I think Martinez has got to take a lot of responsibility, bringing on substitute, which adds a lot more minutes on. He's done it with Gibson, away to Bournemouth, stuff like that. We keep doing it. We've been us got to push up on the league. I think Martinez on borrowed time. I think the coach is on hope. To keep him in a job, because first season, I think we played some wonderful stuff, something that we hadn't seen in a long time, Goodison. It dried up a bit under Moyes, but no, Martinez's second season, I think we got found out, and it's carried on a bit this season. We've got a good set of players, young, but just not being used to the full potential.
Carl, but don't you think, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I think we're be 4 points behind Stoke, who are in seventh position.
What do you think about this, Sharpie? I know Tim Howard, I'm not his biggest fan, coming for a lot of criticism.
Yeah.
I don't rate him. Like, De Gea made a couple of great saves yesterday, and he said, keep a wind your points, Howard doesn't. If Martinez would have had, you know, the confidence to go and buy a keeper. Because Joe's done nothing wrong. I go to games home, and he used to go to the away games.
Yeah.
But he just, if he's going to pick Tim Howard every week, then what's Joe going to do? He knows he's going to get a game no matter what. I don't think the defenders have got no confidence in him. I think when he come for that ball with Costa, he should have took two of them out. He should have been there and took the two of them out. He come for a cross against the last long game Spurs, and he sort of missed the ball toward the end, but the performances have been there, but I just don't think the defenders trust Howard.
I disagree a little bit in the fact that, you know, goalkeepers have off days and they get punished and the mistakes get highlighted in the real. I thought the first goal, I thought Jags should have dealt with it a lot better. I think it was a long ball through, but then Tim then has a decision to make. Tim then has a decision to make. He sees Jag's not getting in trouble. He's come racing out. Listen, he's inches away from getting...
Answer me this, Sharpie. How many points did Never South all in us?
Yeah, but you're saying that. But listen, Tim Howard's done that as well. But all of a sudden, I think the criticism's on Tim Howard. You know where you can criticise? I'm just talking to Dave, the producer, when I came in. He blamed him for the third goal. Come on.
A lot of people do.
Oh, come on.
Can you answer me this, Sharpie, just before a goal, or yeah, after a goal? Delafeu, I love him to bits, but do you think he's got a problem with his stamina? He seems to just be out of breath, shattered, breathless, about 70 minutes.
I think, yeah, as well. But listen, we get blamed for conceding the third goal. If he manages the ball better, we don't concede. You know, he gives the ball away in a break. You know, if you've got that, I know he's young and he's inexperienced and all that, and everybody loves him.
He doesn't track back enough.
Exactly.
I love him.
Well, but he can't do anything wrong in your eyes. But if you ask me, I disagree with you, because a number of times he's so inconsistent. But he's a winger and a young boy, and then you've got to give him time. But what I'm saying to you is, I think it's wrong to just castigate Tim Howard. Yes, he's made mistakes, I'll be first to admit that. But I think it's not a Tim Howard problem. It's a deeper problem than that. Then we talked about it before.
I don't think you'd trust him enough no more. I mean, Stones, when he was doing the turns in the box around the top, I mean, you shouldn't just give it to Howard to boot down. You don't trust him.
John Stones done that and never got... He got out of trouble, you know, and he turned around to the fans and said, calm down. You know what I'm saying?
You feel more comfortable with Stones on the ball, that's right, than Howard. Believe me, I'm watching it with my own eyes. There's a presence around the ground, an atmosphere. They just don't trust Howard.
Well, I think there's a presence around the ground at times. You don't trust a lot of people. You know, I think the atmosphere on the ground at home especially is not great.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And
yeah,
it's not great. It's not just Tim Howard. I think you can go through the team.
Do you know what I'd say, Carl? I'm a Red. Me and Aldo were in one corner. I watched the Everton game, and I think their football's fantastic. I think they're so close to having the components for having the full cake, if you like.
Yeah,
their attacking football is terrific. And I know for Evertonians it's hard as well, because they're looking at it and going, we're so close, and yet there's these obvious points that they think should be fixed. But you know, you've seen some good footy out there week in, week out.
That's good to watch.
I think Lukaku's what's the word I'm looking for? When he come, a lot was expected of the money, but I've always rated Lukaku. What I like more from him, he's getting the goals now, just a bit more from his first touch and his upper body strength. I think he'd be unplayable.
He's top of the goal scoring list, isn't he? So he's maybe nitpicking a little bit there.
But the thing is, Carl, as well with that one, if you looked at Lukaku last year, the majority of Evertonians really got rid of him. He's not good enough. He's not this. He's not that. And the thing is, Carl, as well, about the Evertonians, and you look in the ground and everything else, very quick to judge, and quite rightly they pay their money. But, you know, I think what the manager said as well, you've got a young team there with Lukaku and Stones and Delafeu, Bartley. You know, these players were they're getting slaughtered last year, you know, and it did them no good whatsoever. So what I'm saying now is, whilst it's so disappointing to lose these points and everything else, I don't think they're that far away. I think they can do certain things which will help and improve them. But as I said, to write this season off, and it's been disappointing, but 4 points behind seventh spot, playing Chelsea away and Man City away undefeated, we'd accepted that a few years ago.
Your performances don't warrant your position where you're at the moment, from what I've seen.
But the mistakes do.
The mistakes are, you know.
Carl, brilliant call. Thank you very much indeed. Great to hear from you. Let's get on to Steve. Pass the tin hat over, if you like. So pass the tin hat over as we get to Steve, who's a Red. Hang on one sec. Ah, there we go. I've got him on the line. Evening to you, Steve. Welcome to Legends.
Hi, Steve. How are you doing? I'm good. And hello to Aldo. Sounds a bit chesty there. Is he suffering a little bit?
I am, actually, yeah. I've got a bit of a chesty cough, yes.
Go on, relieve him. What do you want to talk about, Steve?
Well, obviously, I want to talk about Liverpool, but I must show my sympathies for the blue side of Merseyside, because I did feel the 8 minutes was fine, in my opinion, but Terry was definitely offside, and they were robbed. As simple as that. So I agree with Sharpie there. They were robbed. Well, so anyway, back to Liverpool. How did we lose against Man United, John? One shot they had to our, 17, was it?
One shot on target they had. I think it was about four in total. We had, I think we had like six on target, whatever it was, but we had 19 all in all. The goalkeeper is excellent. We know that. Yeah. He's probably the best goalkeeper in the league. You know, but yeah, you know, if we had a Roger Hunt, a Kevin Keegan, Ian Rush, or Robbie Fowler,
John Suarez,
we'd have won the game. We'd have won the game, Steve. Without a doubt, without a shadow of that, we'd have won that game. And that was the difference, you know. That's the worst Man United side I've seen ever. You know, they were there for the taking. Well, I actually think Liverpool played okay. I played some really good stuff at times, but when the opportunities came, you know, we squandered them. You know, Sean come the closest on two occasions, two great efforts. You know, but even the last minute, you know, Firmino little tapping, you know, but he's not. He's a scorer of great goals. He's not a great goal scorer for Firmino. You know, he's not natural in them sorts of areas. You know, if you're someone natural, that he puts that away. But you know, it was really frustrating yesterday. Really, really. And the longer the game was going on, I don't know if you could see, you could smell something. I could smell it coming on. And you see games like this, I think, they're going to nick something here. Mm-hmm. And it fell to the wrong pair. Anyone else there might have blasted the high and wide, but it fell to the wrong lad who's clinical, you know, Rooney just smashed it.
Steve, let me jump in here. Were you a little bit surprised at the way Liverpool lined up and never played Benteke?
No, I was pleased, actually, that we played Firmino and Lallana up there, you know, holding the line up front. And I expected us to do something like that. You know, all right, maybe bringing on Benteke later on when we were losing. Yeah, OK, I can understand that. But I was quite pleased with that after the way they played against Arsenal. So I was hoping for more of the same. But it didn't happen. And we're just missing that goal scorer. And, is Benteke the answer? I'm not sure. He can knock on sometimes, but not others.
You know, Steve, you look, and I had the team out in front of me there, and you're looking where the goals are going to come from. All right, Firmino is looking a lot better now, you know, since his couple of goals in the week. You know, he may get on the score sheet. Then you've got Lallana. How many goals he scored? That answers itself. And Anderson, you know, he looked bright as if he might have an opportunity. Then who are you looking at then? You know, Sean, who's not, doesn't score goals, but he come the closest. Where's the goals going to come from? So, even though I could see why he played for Firmino, because he scored three goals against Arsenal, for me, and hindsight's a great thing, isn't it? You know, you've got Benteke's a goal scorer. You get your goals, and we can't.
John, we've
scored 25 goals in 21 games or something.
We've got to get in this ad break. We'll come back to Steve in just a moment. It's the Legends 0151 472 0967.
Call now 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
At 6:52, welcome along to the show. We're here every Monday and Friday. It's the Legends, your chance to get stuck in some great debate with Aldo and Sharpie. Steve has very kindly hung on the line. We'll get to him in 1 second. We haven't done the clues from the Look Who's Scoring, so there should be a clue in each part of the show, but the debate started too quickly. So, lads, here we go. Here's your early clues. It's a former Everton player we're after today. Played 40 games and he got one goal. Oof. 40 games, one goal, so his return wasn't really very good, was it? Born in December 1978, so he's 37 years old now. 1978 when he was born. Played for 11 clubs in total in his career with one major honour to his name. 11 clubs in total in his career, one major honour to his name. I'm going to give you the part two clues now as well, so I'll stack them up. Right, only major honour was winning the championship to get promotion to the Premier League.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a former Welsh international with 13 caps.
Not Matt Pembridge.
Did you just shout something out then?
I said, not Matt Pembridge.
Is that like a divisive way of not answering?
Yeah, I just said it's not Matt Pembridge. He won more than 13 caps.
is that Sharpie's guess?
No.
It sounded like it to me. It sounded like he was putting it in there, retracting it quite quickly. Although, are you going to throw one in there?
I've got a clue at the minute. No,
All right, let's get back to Steve, who's online. Steve, thank you very much for holding on.
No worries.
I take it you haven't got the answer to that Look Who's Scoring either.
You know what? The only one I could think of was Welsh's Neville Southall, and it certainly wasn't him.
I'm going to go with
40 goals, one game. 40 games, one goal.
Simon Davis.
That's a good shout, isn't it?
That's no. Big Dave, the producer. has scuffed that one.
Right,
you have no right to answer anymore. Steve, continue with Aldo. You were talking about Benteke.
Yeah,
we were talking off air at the break and saying he's the only one with goals in him. Sacrifice your principles. Play him at the moment.
Yeah.
Well, you might have a point, but, you know, I mean, look how many times he was out of position against, was it the game before Arsenal? Can't remember now.
Exeter.
He played then, yeah. There was one great chance he had, and he headed, you know, the keeper saved him. Make great save, to be honest. But, you know, other times he just wasn't on the, you know, wasn't in the right position for this cross coming over.
Steve, he's our top goal scorer. I think he's got seven goals. And, you know, he's been injured. He's been coming on as subs. That tells you that if you want goals, like him or not, from a football point of view, the fans are split. He kept filling up last year. He scored 12 goals in 12 games. Now, you don't lose that overnight. But Liverpool needs to compromise. You know, the manager needs to realise we've got no goals in us. You know, what does he do? Well, I think you've just got to play Benteke, and he's got to play to the way we want to play, and we've got to play to the way he wants to play. You've got to split it here some way and give him...
I'm not saying he's not the answer. You know, I think Benteke can score, and you just look at some of the other play that the balls were coming in when he wasn't in a position to score, and then on other times he was in a position and the crosses weren't coming in, and we were playing narrow and putting it through the middle, and, you know, that's where it was wrong. What was the tactics wrong from Jürgen or what? You know, I like Benteke if he gets on the ball, you know, and he holds it up well, he can turn and shoot, and he's good with his head, but we need to play to his strengths, John.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. That's what they have to do, simply.
Yeah.
Now, because you can't bank on Daniel Sturridge, because we just don't know where he's at or what's happening. We haven't got a clue. You know, Origi's out for another couple of 3 weeks or whatever. Dangs is April or next season. So what does he do? If no one's going to... He's not going to bring anyone in, then he's going to have a little look of how we play and come up with a formula. I remember when Brendan Rodgers, he actually done something. He went 3-5-2 and he put Sterling up top. And we went on a run of games where he actually done all right, you know, because we had no strikers. Yeah. And I think Klopp's going to have to do something similar, because at the moment, the top four, it looks way off. Well, we look way off. We've got to win about six or seven games on the bounce to get back in there. Which
possible,
I don't think we will.
You know.
It is, yeah, it's possible to doubt it. So he's got to pick the right team for me against Exeter. He's got to pick the right team, because we've got to go, you know, don't put that at risk. You know, play three or four young lads, but put the right team out to get through there, and let's have another cup run.
Convincing win needed. Steve, thank you very much indeed.
Cheers, Steve.
Great to hear from you. Let's get our next caller on the line this evening to the Radio City Legends. And where are we heading off to? Next, let's just tee this one up. It's Paul, who's in Magull. Welcome to the show, Paul.
John Oster.
Evening, boys. John Oster.
Ah, right. Not right now.
Hold on a minute.
No, hang on. We've got a problem. Who was the referee at Stamford Bridge? Because you've just basically done a howler, just like
Jones.
Mike Jones.
Jones, yeah.
You.
Is it right? Am I right?
No, you're having it scrubbed off here. You're not having that.
Right. You've dived in, mate. When I can take that, can't I?
Dave, the producer, is that a point to Aldo?
Yes. No.
It is. It's a point to Aldo.
Jeez, lads. I'll take that. I'll take that own goal all day long, by the way.
You've not had your guess yet, John. Who is it?
Yeah, it's him. It's John Oster.
Right. Paul.
With Grimsby, they went up, was it? I think.
Yeah, it was Grimsby.
Sorry, Paul.
Sorry, Paul, you're coming at a bad time
there.
No problem. No problem.
Anyway, Paul, you put Sharpie off. Thanks for that, mate, because I've got the win there. Cheers, pal.
Go on, what's your point?
Right, listen, boys. Bizarrely as it sounds, right, I've had conversations with my 20-year-old son who's never seen Everton succeed or anything like that, and he's seen some dour football. I'm actually turning my opinion, you know, frustrating as it is, the fact that we're giving points away and losing at times games. We're actually playing superb football, and we're actually looking at a really good side. And I just turn around, and I think the lads before on the show before were superb in the comments, because I thought they were spot on this fact that let's keep giving them, like, the faith in the fact that we want to play this football. We don't want to become a boring outfit. And let's press on with it. If we can get our defensive duties sorted out, we will start pushing, because we're not a million miles away from that top six place. I'm not saying we're going to be up there guaranteed, but what I'm saying is I'd rather be in our shoes than some of the other clubs who can't buy a goal, can't buy an attack, can't buy a chance. You know what I mean?
And are you talking to us about Barrows there, Paul? we can't buy a goal, mate.
I was going to say to you there, Aldo. I mean, the fact you'd have bought a minute and a half celebration yesterday, it would have meant you scored the goal, wouldn't you, lad? No, but I'm being a realist. I mean, I think, you can't... When you're cooking something, everything doesn't come right at the same time, right? And you've got to work on things. Midfield, pressing... midfield attacking, forward attacking, we're doing very well. We're creating loads of chances, more chances than we've seen in years. Roberto's getting loads of stick because of the defensive thing, which is frustrating me, and I agree to an extent. But as somebody said, they've got some absolutely top-draw quality defenders. If we tighten that up, all of a sudden we possibly can string three or four wins together. Mm. We're adding the mix.
Yeah. Paul, I think you're spot on. You know, I just said to the previous caller, you know, we're 4 points behind Stoke, I think, who're in seventh. You know, are we a better team than Stoke? I would have to say, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, they beat us at Goodison, but, you know, we went to Man City and we went to Chelsea, two really tough away games. Now, you know, we're disappointed in both to come out with 2 points. Okay, somebody might have said we rode a luck against Man City, but I agree with you. I think the performances are good. I would like to see us tighten up defensively, as everybody would do. But I agree with you. I think there's a lot more positives than negatives. I think the stick that the manager's getting, you know, from some quarters is OTT. I think some of the stick the players are getting is OTT. I think, yeah, we all want to see a team winning. Of course we do. And it's disappointing when you concede, you know, leads what you've had at Bournemouth. We talk about Crystal Palace, Holmes, another one, Chelsea on Saturday. But I just think that, I'm a little bit like you. I think there's a lot of positive things going on. We need to be mentally stronger, but hopefully that will come in time.
Absolutely. I mean, look at the youth we've got there as well, Sharpie. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's a learning curve for them, right? Mm-hmm. And the main thing, I mean, the only thing I disagree with is the fact that we've got to be braver on sometimes, like shut up and put it in goal dead, as Aldo said before, you know. But that'll come, you know what I mean? And I don't think for 1 minute you can blame, or silly free kick we give away for the equaliser. Mm. But at the same time, defensively wise, it was. No, we got men back, haven't we? They bombed everyone on, and they've got like fellas who are 6 foot plus and big bruises like Ivanovic, Terry, and all that. And the goal was offside, but I'm not even gonna. I mean, I was having an argument with a lad in work today. Yes, the goal was offside, and we should have won. But then the flip side of it is, we've got away with that penalty potentially with John Stones. We've got away with the penalty of Kevin Morales. So it balances itself out, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think the goals. You look at the goals, and you know somebody's criticised, you know, Tim Howard for it. You could criticise Phil Jagielka for it, two experienced players. You talk the second goal where Fabregas has scored off a deflection. Gareth Barry's let him go. He's been done in the 1-2. So they're talking. They are now three experienced players, you know, who have kind of switched off at important times. You know, okay, it might be just one of those games, but I think we're going in the right direction. You know, sometimes it takes a little bit of patience, you know, patience required. And I think we've got to get behind the team, you know, and stick with them. It's no use going against them, no use going against the manager. We're in a situation now where a couple of results can get us back up there. So it's important we stick together.
Positivity. Great stuff, Paul. Thank you very much indeed. Got to get to a break. Don't know whether you saw the stat when Everton scored their third. They became second only to Manchester City in terms of goals scored in the Premier League this season. The great entertainers. Right, we've got loads of blues ringing in. Reds, where are you? You must be a little bit depressed about yesterday. Aldo wants to hear from you. 0151.
They're on the pub. Drowned in the sorrows.
4720967. 0151 4720967. We're going to have a steward's inquiry into Graham Sharp's terrible breaking of the rules and the look who's scoring. We'll give you some thoughts on that next.
Football is all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 0151 4720967. The Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Welcome back to the show. 7 minutes past 7 o'clock. Plenty of time to get more of your calls in. 0151 4720967. Our adjudication panel have been going through the events of the last half hour just to analyse how Sharpie had broken the rules big time. The look who's scoring competition. The clues were a former Everton player, 40 games, one goal, one major honour, winning the championship. Former Welsh international, 13 caps. And we had a little bit of audio, but before we could get to that, Sharpie effectively did what any bad striker would do.
No.
Oh, look, Aldo's reacting to it.
What a cheat. He just cheated in a little hole all through the game.
He's cheated.
What a cheat.
Hey, you're impressed with him. You've been impressed.
I bet you are horrible to play Monopoly with Christmas game. You're not like that, John.
Can be, yeah.
John just sat back and went, right, I'll take that point.
I'll take that point.
Right, we're going to get into more of your calls because they're flooding in this evening. And it's the Evertonians who've really got the bit between their teeth. So Sharpie's got his work cut out. Let's take this one from Terry, who's a Blue in Kensington. Hiya, Terry.
All right, boys, you all right?
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry, you're right, mate.
I just want to talk to Sharpie about the lad who's on before about... Tim Howard, the way he said Tim Howard, he should go and all that. He's forget the games that when he's played well at City, Chelsea, and also against Chelsea there today, he had a deflected goal that went in, wasn't his fault. I think Jan should have cut Costa out there, just put him out of the way, just turned him in. And I think the offside goal. So for me, I think here,
Oh, Terry, we've lost you. We've lost you. Just move to the side or something. Your signal's gone. Just turn your radio down a little bit as well.
Yeah, how's that?
Yeah, it's much better.
All right, I just think that what he turned around and said there before that Martinez has got to go. You know what Ronaldo knows and Sharpie. Everyone thinks he's a manager. You just can't just sack managers. It's a work in progress.
Yeah.
And hopefully that Martinez will bring us some silverware this year, or hopefully we get beat City away. But me, to start chewing the bits of Everton, we just need to be just a little bit more tight at the back. And I think we're going to, like I was to talk sport the other day, and that was going on saying that Barkley should be sold. I was catching my head with that.
Yeah. Listen, Terry, football's all about opinions, and everybody is entitled to the opinion. Everybody will be different from the next person. But I just think at times that what he said, it's easy to, you know, pick holes in things. Listen, we want our team to be winning every week. We want our team to be playing attractive football every week. Unfortunately, in the world of football, it doesn't happen like that. You know, you get peaks and troughs. But I think, you know, it's been disappointing more than anything else. I think, you know, the first season under Roberto Martinez was great. The second season was disappointing. But I think we've got to realise that, listen, we want to win things. We want to do better what we're doing. But the thing is, at the table, we're not that far away. We need to get everybody behind us. Now, listen, you'll never get everybody on board, but the most important thing is we've got a young team here. Now, I'd rather have a young team who's learning every week. You know, people are saying get rid of Barkley and get rid of Stones, take the money for them and everything else. You've got to try and build.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. You're trying to build something. So those lads will have a more affinity to the football club if they're getting loved. Listen, everybody takes stick and criticism. We understand that's part and parcel of football. But some of the stick that those younger players have had to endure, hopefully it'll make them better in the future. But it's not doing anything for them. You know, it's making them scared. You know, to play. We need to get everybody on the same boat, saying, listen, this is where we want to go, this is where we're at. Let's get behind us and see where it can take us. At the moment, I think there's a few people against the manager, against certain players. That's not going to do MD any good. We've got to get behind everybody.
Well, I'm a season ticket holder myself on a top balcony, and sometimes the atmosphere at home, it's
poor.
Quite dead.
Yeah.
When you go to away games, it's just totally different. I mean, the fans that Everton take away,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? They just don't shut up for 1 minute.
No.
But all we need to do is just be a bit patient with the manager. It's like when our Kendall bought Trevor Steele and Gary Feeney and yourself, Andy Gray, and then we went on and won things. I'm not going to say we're going to win the league, but
if
you look, no one's running away with it. I'm not going to say we're going to win it. And soft four for Liverpool and Everton still open as far as I'm concerned. And get a bit of it.
Terry, great point. Sorry, your line was just jutting in and out. We'll try and get you back on in the next few weeks. But top points. It's interesting because he picked up on the point, I think it was Carl who made earlier, who essentially said he, you know, didn't have faith in the manager, time for the manager to go. There is a real sort of split opinion on Roberto Martinez.
Yeah.
There's people like Terry who are saying he's the future, but there's a divided fan base with others saying, you know, he can't sort out the defensive problems that we have.
Steve, look, people didn't like David Moyes' managerial stint at Everton. They had a lot of detractors right away saying it was too defensive, you know, set up too defensively, set up for 1-0, Tim Cahill would score a header from a set piece. Great, got us into the top part of the league, qualify for Europe. you can't please everybody. You cannot please everybody. You know, David Moyes, I thought in the general, done a good job for Everton, but didn't get him to that final step. Didn't win things. Now this manager's come in. First season's great, second season not so good. But you still got to get behind him. You know, and there's things he'll do that I don't agree with. I don't agree with. But there's no way I should say we need to get rid of him, or we need to do this, we need to do that. When you... Listen, it's so close to Premier League at this moment in time. A couple of results in our favour, a couple of wins. We're up there again, and you never know, and all of a sudden... But what we need to do is, we ain't that far away... We ain't that far away. We need to get behind the team. It's no use sitting and getting on the lads' backs right away. Yeah, we want to win football matches. Of course we do. Everybody wants to do it. But I don't think we're that far away. And I just think it needs tweaking here and there. But hopefully that will come. I don't know what the January transfer window's going to bring. But hopefully, you know, if we get one or two additions, that'd be great. But I don't think there's an awful lot wrong.
The big question from Evan's point of view, because you watch, look at the squad. It's a real good squad, some real good players. And you'd be look. It's okay getting through this season. The big problem they have is keeping all the three key players that you've just mentioned. You know, Stones. You know, Barkley, Lukaku. People are going to come knocking in the summer.
Oh, dear Lord.
You know, and the big thing is from Martin's point of view, if he can keep them some way or format, which is going to be difficult, because you're going to have some proper money thrown, because that's the way football is at the moment. Mm. If he can do that, then, you know, Everton play some great football and consolidate defensively. They go from centre strength.
Keep them happy. Keep the unrest at bay.
The main thing is for Everton is to keep them three players somehow. Which is going to be tough.
And the way you'll keep them is if you finish the season strong, they're in the upper reaches of the table. And to do that, you got to have everybody pulling in the right direction. You can't have like people booing them and saying, oh, get rid of this and get that. Everybody needs to be channeled in the same direction and say, this is where we want to be. Listen, if we get into European qualification, you've got more chance of keeping those players.
Yeah.
If you don't... Yeah, as John says, there's going to be a big
question. It's a great excuse for them. It's a great excuse. It's a cop-out, isn't it? Do you want Champions League or whatever? It's a cop-out from the agent, and, you know, he wants that, and everything's all good then. You know, that's the big excuse, then they can move on.
Let's get the thoughts of Tony, who's in Runcorn. Tony, you're listening to that. What do you make of it?
Evening, Steve. Evening, boys.
Hi, Tony.
Listen, I was going to come on about something else regarding Martinez, but what John just said there in Sharpie about them three players like Barkley, Lukaku, and Stones, we've got to, you know, when we go into training and that, and we conceded late, like we did on Saturday, you know, and it is hard to defend against a goal, hard to defend against someone who's offside 2 or 3 yards. You're not going to win games with that happening. But what I'm saying, with them three players you just mentioned there, you know, when they go into training, not just them three individuals, but don't you think Martinez should be working on defensive, you know, in games and stuff, because look at the likes of Bournemouth, what happens with down there, and you think you'll take that example from Bournemouth and whatever. But I mean, it's just getting a bit frustrated. Fans are getting frustrated now with like Martinez, you know, they're saying his tactics and stuff like that. Listen, I'm a Martinez fan. Lads I go to game with, we're all split down the middle. Some of them, you know, the pain for blood and stuff, and I'm just like, listen, give me time. But now I'm starting to get to a point where I'm nearly agreeing with them, because I like the style of play. You know, every time we go forward, we will score. We've got quality in that side, but we've got to tighten up at the back. That's a major problem. And then three players just been speaking about, they'll stay at Everton. You know, do you think they want to stay at Everton if we keep conceding late goals and we're not winning games? Look, you know, it's one of those games, you know what I mean?
Tony, I said to one of the lads before, you can dissect the three goals, and you go, the first goal, you can blame Phil Jagielka, some will blame Tim Howard. They're two experienced players. The second goal was a 1-2 where Gareth Barry completely switched off and left Fabregas. So what I'm saying is, these are experienced players making mistakes. So you can't just put it down to one individual and say, oh, it's his fault and everything else. It's a team thing, and the team have got to work that out. There's nothing the manager can do setting up wise if we concede goals like that. You know,
I agree with you there, but what I'm saying, I mean, sometimes I said this myself the other day. When you cross that white line, like, he's just the team, like, and they know what jobs they've got to do. We played football, obviously not at that level, but you know you've got a job to do when you cross that white line. But when you go on that pitch, I mean, obviously Jagielka and Howard, at the end of the day, Chad's let it bounce. Howard should just come out and take the two of them out, go right through the two of them, and put them both in those heads, simple as. Second one, deflection, whatever. And the third one, you know, he was offside. But you know what? We picked ourselves up. I'm going to train it, and we should work on the defensive side of the game. Do you know what I mean? Because you know, every single week, Everton will score goals. The quality we've got. But, you know,
Tony, but I think going into training as a footballer or taking the field as a footballer, you know your job. You know your individual job. So you're telling me, if you're asking Phil Jagielka what his job is, his job first and foremost is to defend. Fumis Mori the same. Leighton Baines the same. First and foremost to defend. But if I can add something going forward, I'll do that, which he does. Seamus Coleman the same. Gareth Barry to be defensively sound. So they all know their jobs individually. But what happens, ideally, in an ideal situation, you won't concede any goals. You won't concede any goals, but that ain't going to happen. That's a perfect world. That ain't going to happen. So in those games, somebody is going to switch off, make a mistake. That's just football. Unfortunately, at this moment in time, every time we're doing that, we're getting punished. You know, and I just hope and pray that, you know, we can rectify these mistakes and then we can get back on the winning trail, because I think we've got the players who are capable of producing good performances and winning games.
That's a game. I couldn't agree with you more, mate. I couldn't agree with you more. We've got probably one of the best Everton sides, Marty. Everton have had in a long time. Yep. And we just need... I mean, it's frustrating. It's just so frustrating as an Evertonian. Yep. And, you know, I speak with the lads all the time and we are split all the time. Speak with Edders, you know what I mean? Where, you know, if I went into work, maybe not in work, like after that means, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you've got to have a word with some certain individuals because you've got to take responsibility. This is why I stick up for Martinez all the time. You know, you can't blame him for that third goal. Some people say, we should have put, you know, different, we should have made a tactical substitution such and such in the game, and I think it's 2-2 or whatever. And I'm going, hang on a minute. They got back in the rhythm of the game. We didn't feel sorry for ourselves.
Very, very quickly, David Moyes used to get castigated for making defensive substitutions and bringing teams onto us, and we're sitting too deep and everything else, blah, blah, blah. So you can't win as a manager. You either make a great substitution, he goes on and scores a goal, and you're the best manager since sliced bread, or you make another decision. So listen, it's a really difficult decision. And also, let me tell you, they ain't sitting in their hands not talking about this and not trying to, you know, eradicate these problems. You know, fans think that they don't do anything in training. Let me tell you, they do. And they'll be as disappointed as the players at conceding the goals that they have done.
Tony, thanks for being part of the show tonight. Cheers, mate.
Cheers, Tom.
Cheers, Tom.
Take care. Some really good points on Everton tonight. John, you've barely broken sweat talking about Liverpool.
I know, Liverpool got beat as well.
Did you see there was a point in the show where he reclined
really
tonight?
Enjoyed this show. Fascinating.
He occasionally sort of stirred and put his head towards the microphone. Look, Simon Mignolet got a new contract today.
Yeah, I've seen that,
5-year deal.
Yeah.
It's interesting because we're talking about Martinez, we're talking about players that split opinion.
Mm.
He splits opinion, John. I mean, I've said to you for... quite a while, a couple of years.
I've backed, you know, Simon up a lot since last January. The end of last season, he's probably our best player for 3 or 4 months. Shot stopping is terrific. It's terrific. Okay, so the point of his game, you know, and he's fairly young, it's where goalkeepers are coming from. The problems is the coordination, the between him and the defence, you know, there's no real talk of the, you know, the centre-halves are not talkers, they just do their own job, they get on with their own job. Sacco doesn't talk, Skirtle certainly doesn't talk, Lovren, I'm not too sure about, and you need...
Is Mignolet the talker for you?
He actually tries a bit, you know, if you had Jamie Carragher in there, I'm just hypothetically thrown, it'd be a lot better, but the communication and the goal, first goal against Arsenal, the corner goal, whatever it was, that typified, you know, everything. That wasn't just him, he was at fault, but it was the defensive side of things as well. I don't think they've got great confidence in each the defence with Simon and perhaps him with them, and, you know, and he takes the brunt of it, you know, when goals, the goalie, if you miss a sitter, the strikers get slaughtered and the goalkeeper get, and that's the way it is. But I think with Bogdan now being left out, I think the end is probably nigh. We brought Young Ward back, who's done brilliant at Aberdeen. He's been fantastic up in Scotland. And whether he's going to be the second goalkeeper next year, we'll have to wait and see. Otherwise, I think Liverpool will probably be in the market. I think from what's happened to Bogdan, to get someone to fight alongside Simon Mignolet for the first team place. And Ward is definitely one for the future.
You both work with great keepers. But what are the qualities that our massive clubs require from number one keepers?
Well, Neville was the best keeper I've ever played against. I think Neville was unbelievable.
Just confidence in your own ability. Confidence in your own ability as a goalkeeper. You know, you make mistakes, but it's how you react to them. You know, the fans got on your back, it's how you react to that. Neville, when he first came into the side, if I remember right, didn't do so well and then get loaned out and then came back. And he had amazing competence in his own ability. Mm-hmm. He was a fantastic goalkeeper, don't get me wrong, but you've got to be mentally strong to be a goalkeeper.
Yeah,
really
definitely.
Strong.
Some people say you've got to be mad, all goalkeepers are mad.
Mad as well, although
you know, you've got to have a certain bit of madness in them. And, yeah. Like, you know, you look at Neville, Bruce.
Yeah,
Bruce used to come and miss things and make mistakes. But what a great. Yeah. But what they were and Neville as well. They were captains from the back. They'd be talking to the back four all the time. Corners. They'd be eyeing up the opposition. Get him. Sort that out. Get here. Get there. You know, that type of thing. Mm. The players of today just watch and do their own thing and seem to just they're in this all their
bubble.
Own bubble. And I'll sort myself out, I'll do that. And unfortunately, that's the way football's gone in many ways. You don't get many leaders. You know, John Terry's probably the last leader. You see now Steve Gerrard's gone, you know. Yeah. You know,
Bruce Grobbelaar is a prime example. How many times did Bruce come for the ball and drop it and juggle it and everything else kind of thing? And, oh, what's going on? But what a fantastic goalkeeper. Yeah. But if he made a mistake, he would get cast, but he got on, he was strong enough to say, right, okay, next game, what do you do? Wouldn't stop him doing what he believed was right. From coming out for crosses or whatever, had the fans on tenderhooks, had the back four on tenderhooks in the team probably, but there's no doubt he was a fantastic goalkeeper.
Mm. You know, but Mignolet doesn't have quite that outgoing personality to do what Grobbelaar did.
But what I'm saying as well, see, what you've got to remember is that Simon Mignolet has come from Sunderland, and it's a big football club, but it's not a football club that's sat to Liverpool and everything that's gone in the past for Liverpool. So with that, and I've said that all along, with that comes... You know, strong enough to do that? And I'm talking about Lallana, who's come from Southampton, people of that kind.
Yep.
You've got to have that mental strength to cope with adversity as well as all the good things that happen.
Yeah.
Boys, an absolute delight. I've got to stop you. I've got 20 seconds left. John's written the team down for the Exeter game, the replay, but we have barely
that's
got time.
That's
to
only what I play. Won me charity best as well, don't forget.
Oh, well, Dave, our producer, forgot it. He didn't put it on the sheet tonight. Sharpie conveniently forgot it.
Sharpie cheated. No, he never cheated. The score is now 4-2.
Is that 3-3? 3-3, that's a popular scoreline. No. See you on Friday, lads.